Epilogue. Traitors. They'd thrown him into a cell, stripped of his weapons and armor. That was wise. They'd incarcerated him with 9 of his brothers. That was less wise. Sevatar leaned back against the force wall, listening to the sound of his brother's easy breathing, subsumed in part by the half-living pulse moving through the energy field all around them. The invincible reason was in the warp. Where they were going, Sevatar could only guess. He knew Kurz had brought almost 700 warriors from the Excoriator in his hasty and ill-advised assault. Var Jahan had been one of them. Perhaps his Chiroptera brother was held in another cell. He toyed with the notion of believing it, but he wasn't a soul ever given to blind hope. They didn't have the Primarch. That much he knew for certain. His surviving brothers spoke of it, of the Dark Angel's final overwhelming assault, and Lord Kurz at last realizing the odds sweeping his sons into early graves. He turned from the lion in that moment, turned from the battle, and fled. If Kurz still lived, he was haunting the lower decks of the Invincible Reason even now. Perhaps he was coming to free his sons. But again, Sevatar wasn't one to hold out in the name of unrealistic hope. He knew the fleet had run. Admiral Yule's plan had worked, in part, at least. The 50 ships remaining behind had powered through the Dark Angel's wider formation with all the lethal efficiency of a needle lancing a boil. He'd seen at least half of them punch through to the other side, and he'd seen a handful starting to tear their way into the warp. But he knew nothing more. The Excoriator was probably destroyed. The Nightfall almost definitely was. So, Trez was dead, along with Tay. The former was a shame, for the Primarch needed the little eater of dreams. The latter was a shame for the most irrational of reasons, one Sevatar wasn't comfortable admitting to any of his brothers, let alone the human maiden herself. He felt the same about 4 other mortals in service to the Legion, and he monitored each of them with care for the very same reason. Dwelling on long-dead family and their resemblance to living humans over a century later had its place, but this cell wasn't it. Besides, he didn't know for sure. They might be his bloodkin, the descendants of the cousins he left behind when he left Nostramo, but there was no way to know for sure. The world was an urban battlefield in the last century of its life, with a scavenging population keeping no civility or morality, let alone historical records. He couldn't shake the sense of connection with them, just as he couldn't shake how much they resembled the family he'd once known. Sevatar pushed the melancholy thought aside with no real difficulty. He wasn't a doleful soul, just as he wasn't an optimistic one. At least in captivity, Sevatar had time to plot, to muse, to process. The Thramis Crusade was over. Most of the 8th Legion had escaped, scattering to the solar winds. The bulk of the Night Lords would join the march on Terra, though he doubted many would ever stay at the front lines long enough to besiege the throne world. He sensed a great deal of raiding for plunder in the Legion's approaching future. The thought would have made him smile if he'd been anywhere else but a Dark Angel's containment cell, caged by a cube of shimmering force. The first cell they'd thrown him into had been a more conventional trap of reinforced iron. Sevatar had spat his way through one wall in less than 15 minutes, dissolving it with his acidic saliva. When a guard came to check on him, he'd merely pointed at the hissing hole in the wall, almost large enough for him to fit through.
"I think rats did it," he said. "Big ones."
The Dark Angels had moved him from the cell, throwing him into a force cage with several of his brothers, each of whom had evidently ruined their own cells, just as he had. Lacking the protection of armor to hide his augmentations from their eyes, Valzin was a wretched thing, more chrome and hemolubricant fluid than blood and bone.
"Stop staring at me,"
he said to Sevatar, his one black eye narrowed, his bionic lens trying to tilt and adjust in weak mimicry.
"I was merely thinking," the first captain said. "You are a testament to the Legion's refusal to obey anything or anyone. You were too stubborn even to die on Istvan."
Several of the others chuckled. Even Valzen offered a crooked sneer, the smile one-sided, not from any wry charm, but because one side of his face was a stroke victim's bland visage.
"Why did you order us into this attack?"
asked Tal Vanek.
"The Atramentar survived Istvan only to die to the last dozen in this suicidal madness."
Sevatar raised a dark eyebrow.
"Is now really the time for petty recrimination?"
Tal Vanek grinned back, all teeth and wide black eyes.
"Never a better time, Sev." "The Primarch ordered this attack."
Several of the warriors muttered in response.
"The Primarch," Tal Vanek replied, "is a fool and a madman. Those who didn't know it before certainly see it now."
This proclamation earned a general murmur of agreement. Sevatar had neither the patience nor the inclination to debate philosophy.
"We'll see,"
was all he said. The only one of them to remain silent the whole while was Rushao. The raven's white skin, bare without his charcoal plate, was crisscrossed with dozens of aggravated scars, marks of excruciation, inflicted through torture, not earned in honest battle. He watched Sevatar from across the cell, his posture mirroring the first captain's as they sat with their backs to the force screens. Sevatar nodded to the raven.
"I just realized I was wrong," he said. "I promised myself I wouldn't lose to the angels twice."
Rushal's scarred, split lips twisted into the ugly smile Sevatar's knives had left him.
"Sev,"
one of his men said, "your nose is bleeding." He lifted a hand, feeling the trickle of hot blood against his fingers.
"So it is."
"You're right."
"No. The secret I've kept for a century has just burst open, all because I couldn't resist a joyride in our father's psyche."
"I'm fine," he said. "Never better."
"Your ear's bleeding too."
"It won't kill me. I think it may be time to escape soon," he added. "How do you plan to do that?" asked Valzen.
Sevatar looked at him for a moment, unsure if the question was sincere. Valzen looked blank, though whether it was because of his facial reconstruction stealing any expression, or simply a deadpan joke that Sevatar was missing, the captain couldn't say for certain.
"Is that a real question?" Sevatar asked at last. "Of course it is. How do we get out of here?"
"The same way we do everything, brother.
By killing whoever tries to stop us."
Prince of Crows was written by Aaron Dembski-Bowden and read by Jonathan Keeble. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited 2012. All rights reserved.